Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Glenbrook Advanced Concepts Institute. So that's an actual fact, an institute, an organisation, and let's give you a bit of an introduction to it. So the history is that for various projects we needed to ship things in from overseas to an address, to a central location. And we needed a name and to get various samples of product. They wouldn't ship it to an individual address. It was easier for them to ship it to an institute's address, especially when you were dealing with, say, a US company wanting to get samples of particular products in particular ways. Trying to talk to them, it was much easier to go through the institute. So the institute sort of got formed sort of as a front. So we produced the website on it, and having produced the website, so it sort of began to go back to front. Website, what would be the motto, and the symbol for it was a pair of shades, and the motto for it is "The future is so bright, we have to wear shades." And there's a song by Timbuk3, rather than Timbuk2. From, I suppose, the 80s, must have been the 80s, or even 70s, 80s, early 80s, "The future is so bright, I got to wear shades." And it's sort of like, it's not a very catchy tune, but the concept sits there. And sort of a bit of practice building the web page, which I took on, and being able to get the general principles ahead without pushing ahead. This is a three-dimensional web page. This is where you hold your phone and the gyro in your phone rotates the image so it looks so it's actually a three-dimensional image floating in your phone. You can do that. So that took a little bit of working out how to do. And then we had, obviously, members. I was not going to have a head, and everyone who came along was a director. So we've got these following people in it. Also, anyone who wants to be can be a director. So we have, I won't give the, give some names. We have got Chris, who's a retired blood pathology expert, medical scientist, and his wife, who's an insightful person. I'm not going to give too many details about that. We've got Pino, who's a traffic expert and a expert winemaker. So that's a bit of a surprise. And we sort of are not heavy drinkers ourselves, so when there was a bottle of wine given, and then that's not going to be a very good bottle, make sure it's on its side, and all these things, we sort of expectations dropped and dropped and dropped. And finally, when we had an institute do, he brought a bottle of wine, and it was fantastic. It was perhaps the best wine I've ever tasted, because it was sort of fresh and fruity. There's something about it I couldn't quite describe what it is. I've always been a little bit cynical of wine, because most of the flavours come from molecules generated from the funguses on the skin of the grape. And, the fungus obviously produces the alcohol, but also produces the other long-term, long-chain molecules, flavoured molecules. So essentially you are tasting fungal juice, like the grape itself has got the base chemicals, and the fungus processes that base chemical grapes. So we call it, wine matures? I think that's the word. There's another term, I can't quite remember it. There's another person up the road, and we've got a new recruit. We're not quite sure. Because he was a bit, he was initially offended, and then he asked for a position, and we made up a slightly tongue-in-cheek position, and it's a bit hard to understand how that goes along. So looking at this, if you imagine it's up on a whiteboard, the Institute, and then you're analysing the difficulties of other groups, and essentially it was a bit like the goodies in terms of we do good. That's what we're here. We're here to do good. It's a bit of a concept of the goodies, but in terms of goodies, it was a sitcom with Tim Brooke Taylor, Bill Oddie, and Graham Greene. There you go. Memory is going. And they'd sit around and work out, you know, what's the mission to go ahead. This was around here. This is rather than looking at a opportunity, it was more looking at responses and coming across and comparing what so the organisation itself could actually do things, pretty amazing things like meet politicians. Not quite write letters, but discuss itself and be a sort of a substrate to approach things and deal with problems, and sort of emerged as sort of a meta organisation. So I'm also a member of Historical Society and RSL, and both have got a very much a mandate to do in 2020 what was done in 2019, 18. It's more continuation where people can get in, and the organization itself has needs and people meet the needs, and then the organization then it's a sort of second step, sort of like a bubble in which people have needs, there's cross support in that little bubble, and then you go forward. So new concepts coming into that bubble can't necessarily operate, whereas the Glenbrook Advanced Concept Institute is no bubble, no surface, but completely oriented to doing new things, solving new things, providing cross links and stuff like that. So eventually, as I tried to map what the Institute is to other groups, like various things it didn't have to worry about, is like sort of looking at whether it should be incorporated, registered as a charity, and accountable in various ways, where it could be. The sort of feeling was not could act as an advisory group to these other groups, and organise the organise or something that was done in one group to be transferred across to others, and this sort of question of what rather than you as an individual, I'm operating as a enclave within your organisation from this group that allows me to operate amongst different organisations. So look, there was various things of looking at any problem and trying to see how to solve it. So one problem that Chris has is the sound of trucks braking on the freeway in front. And that sounds stupid. That was a problem. That's similar to the goodies. It just comes in. Let's look at that. Oh, I'm going to sneeze. Sneeze in a little while, so you better cover yourself because some of my sneeze might come through the microphones, the speakers, and all that type of stuff. No, I won't do that to you. But the general idea was, oh, well, we can let's look at this objectively. We can fit GPSs in trucks, I've already got them, and they can advise the trucks what's the optimum speed to go to hit the lights. And therefore, if it's going to be red, it will know at the start several kilometres away to go for a speed that it doesn't have to slow down. So the general idea is that what happens is the trucks can are barreling along. They suddenly see the lights at Glenbrook, and they stop and they put on the brakes. So if you could handle that, so that was a general solution. And there was all these general things, or general problems of reverse engineering solutions. I've sort of, in general, noticed that there's been a general trend for reverse engineering, or a reverse approach to problems, in so much that the traditional forward approach, with sort of a battle approach of you bring in resources, ideas, people and stuff, and you start at the start of the problem and go forward. There's a reverse thing where you go at the end of the problem, start picking off the easy things to do, or the examples, or the talking points across. Now, in actual fact, there is a methodology, when I've been looking for thousands of exam questions, it's called a reverse order synthetic answer. So you've got a thing which has got an introduction, a nub of a question, and then some details of that question. So if you start off by looking at the answering by considering these details, blah blah blah, and you just work back from the question, you produce a high scoring answer every time, structured high scoring answer. And so there was a number of examples which go like this. Now, and this is a little bit from a certain aspect to the cognitive thing. You get your ideas and they're wiped off all the time. So if you can sort of write them down, wipe them off. I haven't quite described that. So this is when you've got a sort of a reduced working memory and stuff like that. You and this ROSA, reverse order synthetic answer, works together beautifully, and then the structure of it, and then the class. So the thing is essentially, if it asks specific, rather than answering general and going down, because general going down takes a lot to flange down your answer, to say, here's the general thing, and here's all these principles it could be, including the next step. So, and the reverse way allows you just to go in a linear way to answer everything. I hope that makes sense in a certain way. However, this sort of indicated that the institutions like companies and projects, I should also do a bit about projects that people do, are an artifact of society, to make you, your the individual, a consumable. That is, he's an engineer, works on such and such a project, and you put your hand up as very specific as that, and you harvest yourself and lock yourself in it, and you have a specific project you have, that is decorating your front room or fixing your front garden. There's a different project. And there's a good reason for having that type of stuff, because society's been optimized to work like that. So being optimization means lack of flexibility. So the opposite of projects, or a series of projects, alternate projects, which are related and interrelated outcome, and the projects which you have an unknown, so an experimental unknown to be determined, to determine which is the best way of doing it, start to form a program, and a program is structured in a campaign, and so everyone is used to entering in on the project side, and when in fact you've got this structure, so the projects may be in parallel or in sequence, and the issue is that if you're an individual doing it, want to actually these projects can be extremely isolating and extensive long term, and this was not what the Institute was trying to get into in terms of that. In order to do a project approach, you have to have the resources and the time and the coordination and the prioritize. You have to prioritize a project to get it done. So if you set up a project to build a shed, for instance, and you just don't have the time, you don't have the money, and you don't have the hibernation thing, this is to the tarp to put it over the top and stuff like that, and the commitment. If you don't have that to start off with, your project's not going to succeed. So the sort of reverse of that is that you, before you have to get a project, you have to pull resources in from the future, the side projects, and do one particular project. Now, this is obviously not the route for that. That obviously creates a whole heap of vacuum as if everyone pulls in and does one particular project in a different organisation. It leads a large amount of staff in which people can't participate because either they're not connected into the organisation, or in some cases, say the Historical Society, people can't walk anymore. So, you know, sort of working out rather than wanting to get a project, you want a program which gets maximum engagement. So this is slightly pivoting from the start to the end. This is reversing a whole series of ideas. So working on it, I've developed a couple of principles. So for a startup, you recruit, and we're not recruiting, we're recycling. So anyone can come through the door, and we just basically assemble your shed worth of tools ahead, and we're going to recycle you at some stage in the future. And so it's recycling of talent, and this essentially is what is sort of like a paradox in terms of capitalism is ideal. It's the ideal for a very efficient, and if it doesn't work, it sucks the money out of it, and you're forced to sell everything and recycle it. So if you've set up a shop and you've stocked it and bought things, and it's no good, you have to sell it up and you have to recycle it, and you've got to sell everything. It recycles it by loss. So it essentially chucks it out. The important thing is that, say, if you spend years doing something and it's no longer needed, well, you can't throw it out. You yourself get thrown out. So it's sort of like the recycled goods or the goods and scrap heap getting back together and reworking. So there's recycling rather than recruiting. And then the idea of it is, so the middle concept is that you've got this recycled good things. It's going to go in advance to it's going to be recycled, and it's got to actually, that knowledge has to find a use or a process, and this transfer of the human transfer is networking. So it's recycling and networking. So inside a volunteer organisation, you've got an automatic network, positions, locations, people actually settled into their comfort zones, and that's sort of it's a passive networking, whereas the Institute is about active networking. It's only a few people at this stage, but I think we've got perhaps a few overseas members, which we'll talk about going forward. And so this is active networking, and people have obviously capacity in their position before, their organisation would be, say, in one case, to examine blood slides, but it also required a whole series of parallel things to go. So this idea, this level of people can actually go in and do this fairly high level thinking and networking. So it's recycling and networking. And the next thing is this. These are internal, the internal interface, external. Now the external is an overview of really a strategic overview. So in general, you can have the startup, which is project focused, market segmentation, startup process, market segmentation, a proposal of and selling of a story. And so essentially, you in a startup, you see, sell, actualize, and realize opportunity, and you sell that, and people invest in that opportunity to get a return on investment. It's that entire process. And of course, there's a couple of things. In order to do that, they need a very much simplified thing. They've got a startup and it looks like a car in a car yard. It's got to have no scuff marks. It's got to be fresh. It's got to be a marketable. It's a marketplace for startups. And so the sort of reverse of this is campaign, program, project from the campaign engine is a finish down. What is the end result? And the end result mightn't be something big. It may be just community community participation, or it might be in one case, in this general case, is for me is quantum physics, in that students will stop learning what 100-year out-of-date stuff and start to learn quantum physics. And this is a big thing because there is this advanced maths, there's these normal things. And so how do you produce a campaign for it? And you don't have everything. However, you do have this massive talent which will create sort of like a whole sort of rough, muddy thing, but with gems associated in it, which may attract people going forward. And so the general thing is to say, oh well, what we need are these a program and projects to go forward, a skill, but it's a reverse way. And you're not spending time selling it, you're spending time building some just general form of instruction. And the general thing is, well, if a teacher can't, say, rather than actually upgrading a teacher, saying, oh, well, we have to bypass and replace the teacher with a social robot. That's the only way it's going to go. And so this is, from its external perspective, you're not inside the startup process of saying, the teachers have a problem, the teachers have the money, therefore if I provide them a solution designed for them to do it, I'll be able to convince someone else to give me money to do it. And so that's obviously a limited way to go forward. And so then can you build social robots? Well, you can actually build some bits of the structure going forward to look at that. So that's the general idea of the Glenbrook Institute. So it's recycling old farts, using the best quality of an old fart is that they are cheap, that they're there, they've got lots of time, lots of experience. And so it's rather like resource, it's like exploiting a resource to do it. And then what you often have is something about, well, what, how does this fit in? Now, obviously, what's happened is people have said, I've got a precise project and that doesn't fit in, so I will throw that out, and unfortunately there is a person associated with that. That's okay, because they're going to, and I think traditionally what would happen is everyone would have a short lifespan, because Australia's now changed. I think Australia's got the longest, I think we do have the longest lifespan. I think we've overtaken Japan. I can't believe it. I'll have to read it. You often read these stuff, but there's a lot of people who are just through the health system living a long time. So there's just innumerable people who've had these incredible heart operations. There's actually, I don't know, there's one who's had a quintuple bypass, in fact, I just really, really have to think. So there's all this support. So what I would say is that the sort of last major medical intervention was the glasses. This is reading glasses at the sort of beginning of the Renaissance, which allowed people to have an intellectual productive life. So with that, you had this double whammy, the printing press and glasses. So you had information and also this magical thing to actually add their productive. And then with glasses, they could start to do fantastic work. So we've got this other thing, is that we've now got this productive society, lots of times, lots of communication. They're all, everyone's wired up, everyone's a bit living a lot longer, so we're able to actually produce and go a bit further forward. You can hear the garbage truck, which is sort of missing our street at the moment, going forward. So that's a general thing for the Glenbrook Advanced Concept Institute, the GACI, with its website. And there's no pressure, because we don't have any major expenditure, and sort of a real knowledge of what's a project and what's a program, and the general thing, where people have a busy time and we can just let them go and push them across, and it's sort of ideal. Okay, thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.